We are sitting here in Ben Gurion Airport. The journey is about to begin.
From the latest on Caribbean cruises to kosher safaris, pilgrimages to Jewish Eastern Europe and award-winning wines and international cuisine in sun-drenched Tel Aviv, sit back and enjoy the trip with the travel edition of the Jerusalem Post podcast. You're very, very welcome to join us as we take to the skies and take you on a very special journey. I'm David Harris, and this is my travel buddy, Mark Gordon.
Earlier this year, I came to Ben Gurion Airport for the first ever Wizz Air Abu Dhabi flight from Abu Dhabi to Tel Aviv. Now, the very kind people at Wizz are taking us to Abu Dhabi to meet their chief executive, Kees van Schaik.
Attention passengers, this is the first call for priority boarding for Wizz Air on flight 7086 to Abu Dhabi. Please proceed to the gate B6. Thank you.
We've had Wizz flying out of Tel Aviv for more than a decade. Is there a difference between the Wizz that we know and Wizz Abu Dhabi?
Serving Tel Aviv from many European cities is very much part of the same Wizz Air group holding. It's a major airline in Europe, 138 aircraft flying Central Eastern Europe, Western Europe, with two air operator certificates. So two air operators are part of the European organization, one based in the UK and one in Budapest. And they have their own setup, their own individual airline right to operate. We are the third AOC air operator. We are a UAE national airline, so we are majority owned by the Abu Dhabi government. And as a consequence, we are following all the regulatory aspects of a UAE national airline. There are six now with us, so we have the Emirates and the Etihad, the Fly Dubai's of this world, and we are number six in the United Arab Emirates. We are very much attuned product to the standard you know from Europe, and of course we are using this model to make it fit into the United Arab Emirates. And when it comes to our livery, you have seen on the tail of our aircraft, it is special. It literally shows Abu Dhabi, Wizz Air Abu Dhabi. But other than that, the crew is trained according to the same standards. The product is the same during in-flight. The baggage policies are the same. So we are very much leveraging our 17 years of experience into this market.
From the point of view of Wizz Abu Dhabi, why was Tel Aviv one of your first routes?
Tel Aviv knows us. Israel knows us. We are the second largest international airline serving Tel Aviv, following, of course, El Al. A lot of people, if not all of people, know us. They like our product. They like our unbundled product. Something to choose. You can keep it as low price as possible, or you can add and choose add-ons, ancillary revenue services. At the same time, Israel came onto the green country list of Abu Dhabi, which meant that there would not be any restrictions on the Abu Dhabi side to enter the country and enjoy all what is on offer in the United Arab Emirates. So two reasons came together. Of course, prior to that, the very positive news that the Abraham Accord resulted in the establishment of the air routes. And those three factors together made us, without doubt, say we need to get into Tel Aviv the moment we can.
Dave and I have just flown in from Tel Aviv on one of your brand new planes. Can you tell us a bit about the planes and the journey?
We have deliberately chosen to bring our most modern aircraft fresh from the Airbus factory end of last year, directly into the United Arab Emirates. These are the Airbus A321neo aircraft. 239 seats in a one-class product with, as you have seen, a very clean, nice and tidy cabin interior. The aircraft themselves have the most fuel-efficient engines. That's why the NEO, the next engine option. And with that engine, we are reducing our fuel consumption by 20%, which is very important for us. But most importantly thereafter as well, we are reducing NOx emissions and we are reducing our noise footprint. So all these factors together made us decide this is the right vehicle of choice to bring to United Arab Emirates.
From Abu Dhabi,
yes,
you have the opportunity, you're already opening routes, but you have the opportunity to make places like Central Asia, the subcontinent, Southeast Asia, accessible. How much do you see that as a possibility for people coming from Tel Aviv, perhaps to include a stopover in Abu Dhabi and then move along using Wizz the whole way?
Yeah, well, our aircraft, the A321neo aircraft, will have about a 5-hour radius in catchment area. So our model, to make ultra-low fares possible for our customer base, we fly the aircraft out and back on the same day with the same crew. So that's how we utilize the aircraft to the maximum extent possible. But that gives us that 5-hour radius around Abu Dhabi. Now, our strategy will be that we are serving our traditional Wizz markets back home in Central Eastern Europe, in the CIS countries. We are going to serve the GCC countries around us, the shorter routes. We are already flying into Egypt, so northeastern Africa are likely destination hotspots for us, and for sure in due time we will also venture out into the subcontinent, so India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, those directions. Now that indeed opens up a tremendous opportunity to bring people into Abu Dhabi, to have them enjoy one to couple of days of stopover in the Emirates, enjoy the tourist hotspots of Abu Dhabi and the nightlife perhaps in Dubai, come back to the airport of Abu Dhabi, and you will see that there is a new Abu Dhabi airport being built. That will give a tremendous experience for our passengers as well, and they can move on to other places in our network. Self-connecting, that's what we are calling it, for sure has our interest because we know this is under uptake. So more and more people are self-connecting, are finding ultra-low fare carriers like Wizz Air, able to bring them into a city and out again to another city with a fairly good product from a stopover point of view.
We're very lucky in Israel and in the Emirates and a lot of our listeners in America and in Europe that we've been vaccinated against COVID-19. How is the airline dealing with COVID-19 safe travel?
We were one of the, I think the front runners from an airline point of view in introducing a very clear policy when it came to comes to health and safety during the COVID pandemic. The crew from the start are wearing the masks, they're wearing the gloves, they are trying to get as much as physical distancing during boarding disembarkation made possible. Contactless payment, we have removed for good reasons the in-flight magazine, so it's all available for download before the flight. And all these measures together, the sanitation, the cleaning of the aircraft interior after the flight, all put together, I think, with more and more people being vaccinated, the crew being vaccinated, that combined with airflow in the cabin, I think is safeguarding a very safe travel experience.
We were sitting on the front row, thanks to your generosity, and we saw people coming onto the plane, and one of the flight attendants was holding for them disinfectant pad, and you could see that there was a very positive response from those people coming on board as just another measure of reassurance.
Correct. We are just, of course, trying to make our passengers feel very much safe and at home while flying with us, and these are the small things which make the difference.
For the first few months, are we right to assume that most of the passengers on the Tel Aviv route are going to be Israelis? And do you anticipate there will be a lot of traffic the other way from Emiratis coming to Tel Aviv?
Our traffic is predominantly from, entirely from Israel into Abu Dhabi and back. That is simply related to the fact that at the moment, from a visa point of view, it is not possible to enter Israel. We hope that that will change. We have indications that it may change as of July, but we are very anxiously waiting for rather sooner than later. Once that happens, we are quite confident that also Emirati nationals and UAE residents will find us in going for a very nice holiday into Israel and enjoy the openness and the unique air route between the two countries.
We've been looking on the website at the cost of the flights, and most of the flights seem to cost less than a taxi from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How do you make money on a route when the prices are so low?
This is all about ultra low fares. This is Wizz. We are in for offering affordable travel and connecting people. That's our purpose. That's what we are here for. We are a very healthy financial company. We are part of the Wizz Air Group. If you look at our stock price development, it is higher than the pre-COVID levels. That means there's a lot of trust from the UK stock market in Wizz Air. We are not all the time as low as perhaps you have seen on the internet, but there is a very healthy balance between promotions, price promotions to stimulate the market versus different fare levels. The good thing is that with our aircraft, with our aircraft utilization, our way we have organized the airline, we are able to drive down costs, unit costs, to such an extent that we are uniquely positioned to offer very low fares. And the difference between the two is a healthy margin. Yes.
Anybody who's listening to this who wants to get more details, and as far as you're concerned, most importantly, book, what's the best way to do that?
Internet, the website wizzair.com and our mobile app are the unique portals to understanding what we have on offer, what more is to come in due time. We have 23 routes on sale from Wizz Air Abu Dhabi, and if you fly with us to Abu Dhabi, have a nice stopover in the Emirates and then want to fly to Greece or somewhere else, you are the right customer for us.
Case, thank you so much for meeting us.
Thank you for coming to Abu Dhabi and experiencing our product. Thank you.
Our pleasure.
And now the latest news from the Jerusalem Post podcast Travel Edition. With improving ties between Israel and Morocco, Israeli carrier Israel says it'll fly from Tel Aviv to Marrakesh starting next month. The six-hour non-stop flights are scheduled to launch on July 19th with a five times a week service.
The European Union will open its borders to travellers coming from countries with a good epidemiological situation. The same goes for anyone who received the last recommended dose of any EU-authorised vaccine.
Prices for rooms in most Israeli hotels are within 5 to 10% of what they were in 2019, Dan Hotel CEO Ronen Nissenbaum told the Jerusalem Post. Demand for vacationing domestically is much higher this year than usual, causing prices to return towards pre-COVID levels.
After losing control of El Al Israel Airlines, Knafaim Holdings bought a 49.9% stake in Cypriot airline TUS Airway, which operates flights to Europe, North Africa and Tel Aviv.
A week after Malta said it became the first EU country to reach herd immunity, it reopened its borders on June 1st. The country launched a double discount incentive scheme, saving travellers up to $240 per stay. Mark and I are now sitting in a coffee shop in Abu Dhabi, which is the capital and, if you will, the main kingdom of the United Arab Emirates. It's phenomenally hot outside, so the air conditioning provides us with welcome comfort. And talking of welcome, we've been hosted so beautifully by Nanette Fairley, who's Australian in origin but has lived in the Emirates for 28 years and has been taking us around Saadiyat Island. Nanette, welcome.
Thanks, David. It's great to be here.
We've just come inside after a fun afternoon at the Louvre on Saadiyat Island. I thought the Louvre was in Paris, and somebody moved it.
The Louvre Abu Dhabi is actually the outcome of a cultural partnership between the UAE and France that was originally established in 2007. One of the things is the Louvre in Paris has many, many amazing pieces of art that are just in the basement. So part of the Louvre Abu Dhabi is to put some of those on show.
Architecturally, it's magnificent on the outside, and I think we'll get to that soon. But what is there to do on the inside? Is it just impressionist paintings, for example?
The inside is a reflection of what the outside looks like. I think it's very, very modern. Each of the galleries are very minimalist, very square. The art curation is also absolutely stunning. You're not walking around a gallery that is stuffed to the seams with lots of different pieces of art. They're beautifully curated, explained. There's lots of space. There's also an amazing area for kids. So don't think that the Louvre Abu Dhabi is only for art buffs. There's an experiential area for kids where they get to dive into art history and really become a part of the gallery.
Being the culture vulture that I am, I went to the Louvre in Abu Dhabi and never actually went inside. Instead, we decided to kayak around the outside, which, for those people that know me, the thought of me in a kayak with David going around the Louvre is something to behold. Would you say it's more fun to kayak than go inside?
Well, kayaking with you and David was actually a lot of fun. You're both clearly in need of some experience kayaking.
I've been told many times before that I'm not properly balanced, but I don't think this is what they had in mind.
Yes. Well, yeah, I was holding my breath a few times because I thought you guys might end up in the water. But no, kayaking around the outside of the Louvre in Abu Dhabi is a great experience. We did it at sunsets, and that was an added bonus. But one of the things you can see, certainly, is the architecture from the water. And the architecture of the Louvre Abu Dhabi is absolutely stunning.
So as I mentioned at the start of this interview, we're on Saadiyat Island, which is one of many islands of Abu Dhabi. What else is there on Saadiyat Island? What can you tell us about this place?
Saadiyat, translated from the Arabic, means island of happiness. And one of the things that the Abu Dhabi government has tried to do on Saadiyat is really juxtapose both the culture and heritage and history of the area, but also bring the modernity of the Abu Dhabi Louvre and the Guggenheim. It really is one of the cultural centres of the Emirate and of the UAE, I think.
As we kayaked round and when we weren't crashing into walls, one of the highlights as we went round the building was the roof, which is this massive steel, I think it's steel, but certainly a metal dome, looked like a night sky full of stars. Really, really amazing architecture. Can you tell us a bit about the architecture on the island?
Sure, and that is something that's spectacular about Saadiyat, is there are three world-renowned architects who've designed three of the buildings. Jean Nouvel has designed Louvre Abu Dhabi, Norman Foster and Frank Geary, very well-known architects, have designed two of the other buildings. But specifically looking at Louvre Abu Dhabi, it's like a floating dome structure, this web patterning across the dome. It allows the sun to filter through. But bizarrely, it's not hot underneath it. You would think that allowing the sun and allowing the heat of the summer to come through the roof into the building below, it would make it incredibly hot, but it's actually not. It's very cool. It's meant to represent the rays of sunlight passing through the date palm fronds in an oasis in the Arab world. So if you come to the Louvre Abu Dhabi for only one reason, for me it would be to just look in awe at the amazing architecture.
I'm going to pick up on something you said there, which is, I guess, in terms of architecture, totally irrelevant, but it was talking about the heat. I know you don't like particularly the sun. How on earth do you cope 28 years in this? Even in winter, it's hot.
Well, you learn to love air conditioning because everything is air conditioned. My home, this lovely cafe that we're sitting in. You learn to put on sunscreen, wear sun shirts, wear hats. I think also you do adjust a little bit, but I will never love sitting outside in 42 degrees Celsius in the afternoon. That is something I'll never enjoy.
On the drive to Saadiyat Island, we went past lots and lots of beautiful mangroves. Can we go kayaking around them next time?
Absolutely. Although your skill level may need to improve because the technicality of kayaking around the mangroves might be a little bit beyond you.
Mark, it's a shame this isn't video at this point because Mark's jaw just dropped when it was suggested, dear Nanette, that our kayaking skills were not quite up to par.
I thought by the end we were near Olympic standard. We were actually able to turn right and left.
Somebody has to come last in the Olympics.
I mean, we turn quicker than the QE2, which, by the way, is parked up in Dubai at the moment.
The mangroves are an important part of the environment here. The government has made a real effort to preserve the mangroves and to continue to build upon what is already there. But kayaking through them, you see both the mangroves, but you also see the whole of the ecosystem that's in a mangrove swamp, all the insects and the fish and the frogs, etc. So very definitely worth a visit if you like kayaking.
No crocs, sir?
No, I haven't seen any crocodiles.
At least if we fall into the water, we're not going to get eaten. We might drown, but we won't get eaten.
So given our kayaking, if they want to preserve the mangrove system, I wouldn't let us anywhere near it.
Nanette, what I omitted to say at the start is that you're the founder of an organisation called What Nextology, which is truly fascinating and has a great mission. We're not going to go into details of it right now, but if anybody wants to know, where can they find out more?
The website is whatnextology.com, and there's a contact form. If anyone has any questions about Abu Dhabi or Dubai or just wants to reach out and say hi, you can contact me through that website.
Nanette Fairley, thank you so much, and thank you for taking us round in a kayak and not killing us.
It was so much fun.
No, it wasn't.
The Abu Dhabi Fact File. The main airport of the Emirate of Abu Dhabi is Abu Dhabi International. The main flag carrier is Etihad, which will take you to New York, Chicago, Washington, Toronto, London, Paris, Tel Aviv, and most major capital cities. By September, Wizz Air Abu Dhabi will operate 25 routes, including Tel Aviv. The airport is 10 minutes drive from the Yas Island Resort, 30 minutes from downtown Abu Dhabi, and about an hour from the Palm Jumeirah in Dubai. Recommended hotels include the Hilton Yas Island and the W at Yas Marina Circuit. Hotels on Yas Island currently provide excellent value for money compared to the more expensive downtown and Saadiyat Island hotels. $1 will buy you 3.67 UAE dirham. Abu Dhabi has a desert climate and sunny blue skies can be expected throughout the year. The months of June through September are generally extremely hot and humid, with average daytime temperatures over 40 degrees Celsius, 104 Fahrenheit. Emirati food is infused with spices and ingredients from throughout Asia and the Middle East. Think cinnamon, saffron, turmeric, nuts, limes, and dried fruit. Being a coastal city, fish is the star of many local dishes. Vegetarian Indian food can be found widely, including the Bikaner Wala Indian restaurant. Yasmal also has a cheesecake factory. The Emirates Palace, Armed Forces Officers Club, and Hilton Hotel Yas Island are able to provide kosher food.
Sadly, our time in Abu Dhabi has come to a close. It was a whistle-stop tour, but a lot of fun.
I'd like to say a big thank you to Kays and Wizz Air for bringing us here, and to Nanette for taking us kayaking around the Louvre.
Hopefully, we will be back in Abu Dhabi a little bit later this year, bringing you a special with lots of voices and lots of sounds. More details on that still to come.
If you enjoyed this podcast, remember to give us a 5-star rating and write a review.
If you didn't enjoy the podcast,
still give us a 5-star rating.
That's it for this edition of the Jerusalem Post Podcast Travel Edition.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.